Jesse, I think you might be muted.
Thank you. Kevin Oquist said, "Today I choose life. Every morning when I wake up, I can choose joy, happiness, negativity, pain, to feel the freedom that comes from being able to continue to make mistakes and choices. Today I choose to feel life, not to deny my humanity, but embrace it." Good morning, Freedom Crusaders. This is Jesse Jenkins coming in from New York, and I am so honored and pleased to be able to welcome all of you to the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. We are going to be getting started at the top of the hour with our wonderful founder and host, Paul Hutchings. He hails from Blackfoot, Idaho, and lives there with his beautiful, lovely wife and four energetic boys. He is a friend, he's a family man, and he is a freedom crusader. He went from living in a single wide trailer house to becoming a top earner on the home business profession and building a life of freedom for his family. He loves striving to help others and himself to learn great lessons that can help them continue the freedom journey. And I cannot wait to hear what he has to share with us. But in the meantime, I want to hear from all of you fabulous people. So please let me know what your name is and where you're calling in from.
Rudrani from Florida.
Good morning from Florida. I'm so glad
Bill Shoemaker
you're
in Tucson.
Who is that?
Bill Shoemaker in Tucson, Jesse. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Good to hear you, Bill. Welcome, welcome. So welcome.
Paul and
good morning. Good morning. Evan Scoresby in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hey, Evan. Good morning. Good to hear from you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So happy to have you.
Simone from St. Louis.
There you are, Simone. Welcome, welcome.
Hey,
good to hear your voice. Well,
yay!
Yes, who else
Marta,
is out there? We're going to be getting
I'm
started.
I'm resonating in California.
Hey, good morning from California. Glad to hear. Welcome, welcome. Who else do we have out there on this Friday morning? Who else?
David Morphe from Florida here.
And where we're calling in from.
Hyacinth from New Jersey.
Hey, Hyacinth. Thank you for all you're doing for the group. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the family, I should say. Love that word. Who else do we have out there this morning?
Great Rising is Rita and Christian in Dallas.
Hey, there you are, you wonderful people. Rita and Christian, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is that time, Paul. I think they're all set. So go ahead and take it away.
All right. All right. Well, Jesse, thank you for that amazing introduction, the beautiful quote, and the energy you get us lifted off with every single day of your own free will and choice and initiative. Thank you so much for your service there. You always set a great example for us. You know, one of the things we like to say in our community is be the change you wish to see in the world. Of course, that quote comes from Gandhi. We actually have that hanging up on one of our walls in our home. And one of the things we've been doing as a family nightly before we go to bed as we walk around the house and read all the inspirational little quotes. And, you know, one of them is be the change you wish to see the world in the world. And, you know, of course, in our community, we're students of the laws of success by Napoleon Hill. One of those laws is initiative and leadership and going the extra mile. Initiative and leadership, in short, in my short definition means you do what needs to be done. Sometimes without, you know, being paid for it, you just see something that needs to be done and you do it. And you provide service even before asking for monetary remuneration in a lot of cases. Napoleon Hill said, a lot of people say, show me the color of your money and then I'll show you the value of my service. And he said, why not flip those around and say, hey, I'll show you the value of my service. And then if you like what you find, you can then show me the color of your money. And anyway, I think about all of that when I think about how Jesse every morning she wakes up early. She comes and she gets the conferencing controls going. She starts the music. She comes on and has a quote prepared. She does such a great job welcoming everyone here. She stops the recording at the end of the call, and she does that all for free. She doesn't earn any monetary remuneration, no money for that. She just does it. I mean, she could tell you for sure why she does it, but I think it's because she loves what we do here. She loves our vision. She loves how this community has been a support to her in her freedom journey over the years. And I hope that's the case. I believe it is. I know that's been the case for me. Is I've been on my journey of building financial freedom. It's really helpful for me to have a place every day where I can come and be inspired and be reminded of life's great lessons and life's great laws and life's great principles. And of course, that's our vision, freedom through principle-centered leadership. We would love it if every single person who came to our community, who plugged in, who took notes, who threw away those notes like Katie Stage said on a call a couple of weeks ago, you know, and that just means you teach what you learn as you're applying it. We would love it if every person who follows that process was able to build a life of financial freedom. That's really what we want. That's the end goal. That's the deliverable. You know, if you come here and say, you know, what am I going to get from participating in this mastermind? What am I going to get from studying and engaging and taking action on the things that I learned? What is the deliverable? What is the gift? And in our minds, the gift that we want to give ourselves and everyone is that gift of financial freedom. You know, that state, that space where we can all wake up in the morning and be able to say, what is it that I want to do with my time today versus what must I do with my time today? You know, I remember when I used to have a job, I was grateful for the job. I was grateful for the money that that provided for my family, but I did not like so much about that job. I didn't like being cramped in a cubicle. I didn't like being told that I could only go so far and no more. I didn't like being told I could only earn X amount of dollars. I didn't like the culture where people seemed to be advanced and promoted based on how well they could schmooze with the right people rather than based on merit. I didn't like all of that stuff. And so I wanted to get somewhere better. And I thought, wow, how great would it be if I was able to build an income outside of that where I didn't have to wake up and go to this job every day? How great would that be? And I'll tell you what, folks, it is great. It was great. I've been happily unemployed from a job since around 2009. And my goodness, I'm so grateful for that. I'm just so grateful to be my own man and be able to live the life that I want to live. And then on top of that, you know, the other aspect to that is being able to build a residual income where, for example, yesterday I took pretty much the entire day off and I was getting ready to go to sleep last night and check my phone and I had 5 commission notifications, money that came into my life for me not doing any work really yesterday. And of course, that's the magic of residual. In our community, we believe in residual income. We believe in passive income. We believe in building pipelines, right? Doing the work. And yes, it does take work, unfortunately or fortunately, depending upon how you choose to look at it. My experience has been is that it does take work, but the reward is so worthwhile. You know, it's worth learning the skills. It's worth putting in the effort. It's worth getting knocked down and getting up again. You know, it's worth everything that it takes to get to a point where you can have money coming into your life based on work you did a while back, and that money can support you and really do what it's meant to do, in my opinion, as a Freedom Crusader, free up my time and free up your time. That magical point where your money becomes disconnected from your time, right? Where money comes in and you may or may not have put any time in that day. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And it can come from building a business. It can also come from being an investor. And that's really the kind of the path that we like to encourage ourselves and others to be on, as we've been encouraged by great mentors like Robert Kiyosaki, for example. You know, he says, be a business owner, learn how to have success in business. And then as you're having success in business, follow the laws of success that we study here. One of them is the habit of savings, right? We want to take a portion of that which we're bringing in, and we want to save it, not so that we can stack it in the bank and pat it on the back and smile at it for our entire lives and watch some of it disappear through inflation. No, not for that, but so that we can have money to take advantage of investment opportunities that come along when our minds are tuned to look for those. And so we can take that money we're earning in business, we can invest it, and really, again, just compound that freedom. So in any case, that's a little bit of who we are, why we gather here together every day. You know, we learn to grow as people. It seems that, I'll just, from my own experience, I remember when I first got started on this journey, I don't know that I was the person then that I needed to be to have the lifestyle and the success that I wanted to have. I wasn't that person when I started the journey, and it was a journey, and it still is a journey, but I had to learn things, right? I had to learn skills. I had to learn principles. I had to learn communication skills, invitation skills, marketing skills, and I'm still learning, right? But that's, you know, you ask yourself, okay, so we want to help people build freedom. What are some of the things we can do to facilitate that? And I think what we do on this mastermind is a great thing. You know, we focus on helping each other grow, which keeps us in the game and helps us to become better so that we can have better results. And the last thing I'll say on this, just really quick, and I'll open up the lines and ask how you guys are feeling on Freedom Friday, and we'll get on with the regularly scheduled mastermind, is this hope and this faith that I believe, just throw this out there as food for thought, that I believe we always have better things waiting for us in our futures. No matter what's happened to us in the past, no matter where we're at right now, and I believe this not on some, you know, mystical, unfounded, you know, just a fairy tale faith. I believe it for very logical reasons. I think I know from my experience that as human beings, we are very unique, and there are a couple of unique talents and skills and gifts and attributes that we have. Namely, A, we always have the ability to learn something new. Is that true? You know, you as a person, can you always learn something new? You can, can't you? Today you can learn something new. On this call you can learn something new. In a book you can learn something new. In an experience you can learn something new. And you and I and we, excuse me, we always have the ability to do something different. Is that true or not? Don't we today have the ability to do something we didn't do yesterday? Don't we today have the ability to do something today in a better way than we did yesterday? And so the conclusion that I draw, and you guys can choose to believe this or not, but I just throw it out as a little mental thought experiment or argument here. I believe that if it is true we can always learn something new, and if it's true we can always do something new, then that means to me we always have better things waiting for us in our futures as long as we can learn and as long as we can apply those new things that we learn. And really, that's the goal. That's why we gather here together every day, in the hopes that we can learn something from each other or from the materials that we study, that we can go and apply and do something different in our lives and create a more beautiful future, a more free future, a more prosperous future. So with that, I'm going to unmute the lines and ask if you can resonate with any of that. Are you excited about that journey? Are you grateful to be alive today? Are you excited to be learning something today? And hopefully also maybe sharing something today in the mastermind that can help us all move forward in a better way. If so, let's hear how you're feeling on this Freedom Friday as we unmute the lines right now.
Yes.
I love you all.
I love it. And we love you, Simone. She said, I love you all. I think that was Simone. I think that was her voice. So let's go ahead and go through our Freedom Crusaders Manifesto, which is something we do every Friday. And again, shout out to Hyacinth for doing such a great job reminding us in the group to volunteer for the Major Definite Purpose and Freedom Crusaders Manifesto. So do we have someone here who can lead us through our Freedom Crusaders Manifesto? Star 6, and come on out, if you would, please.
I take it if no one else will, Paul.
Oh, it's awesome. Hyacinth. Thank you, Hyacinth.
You're welcome. Good morning, everyone. The Freedom Crusaders Manifesto. The mission? Freedom through principle-centered leadership. I have a definite purpose to become financially free with self-confidence to back it up. I believe in myself and in those around me, seizing every opportunity I can to practice initiative and leadership in providing service to others. I use my imagination to visualize my purpose and craft plans for its attainment. I mix my enthusiasm with my work because enthusiasm is the force that energizes my body, my mind, and my soul. I fill my heart with sincere gratitude each day. I exercise self-control to guide my actions with patience and discipline. I temper my desires by choosing to live within my means so I can save money, eliminate debt, and buy income-producing assets. I render more service than I am paid for, and I know that in so doing, infinite intelligence will return even more in due time. I have a pleasing personality that is both genuine and sincere. I am an accurate thinker. I know that accurate thought is based on facts and not upon hearsay or random information. I concentrate by giving my undivided attention to but one task at a time. I cooperate and mastermind harmoniously with others, believing that together we can do more. I profit from failure, my own and others. I always practice tolerance when dealing with others. I make the golden rule the foundation of all that I do that affects other people. I know that the long cut is the only real shortcut, and commit to putting in the time, gaining the knowledge, and doing the work required to earn my just reward. As a promoter, I produce meaningful, high-free marketing that matters. I believe the stairwell designed by the architect of the universe is leading somewhere great, and I strive to make my choices from this grand perspective. I seek to align myself with companies, products, missions, movements, and organizations firmly in alignment with these principles while avoiding those who are not. I will be the change I wish to see in the world, and even after I have obtained my freedom, I will continue to assist other crusaders on the path. Thank you for allowing me to read. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you for your leadership, Hyacinth. Sure love and appreciate and believe in you. And I'm not the only one. Friends, you believe in Hyacinth? If so, let's let her know.
Thank you.
Hear that, Hyacinth? You are a hit. Thanks, everyone, for the great support there. So a couple quick announcements. We have a negative character attribute, a.k.a. hashtag NAC, negative character attribute, that we want to be aware of this month. And we do this every month. We pick a negative character attribute that was given to us by Napoleon Hill in his last book, Grow Rich with Peace of Mind. This month, the negative character attribute is vanity. And I looked up the in the book, when he lists these negative character attributes, some of them have a little bit of text next to them. So I was thinking this morning, did he say anything about vanity? And he said the related enemy of insincerity and vanity, which makes one vulgar and forms a repulsive force. So he didn't really tell us what vanity is, but he did say that vanity makes one vulgar and forms a repulsive force. And have you noticed that? You know, in your journey, have you come across people that you perceive to be, whether they were or not, you perceive to be them as vain? Did that have an attracting force or a repelling force? It almost seems kind of obvious, right? Like usually that is kind of repelling. And so Bill Moist, I think yesterday on the Mastermind, asked us to be thinking about definitions of vanity. So I wanted to pull up the Webster's dictionary definition, and here's what it says. Vanity, a bathroom cabinet containing a sink and usually having a countertop. Ha ha ha. Wrong definition, right? different kinds of vanity, right? No, here's the actual definition. Number one, inflated pride in oneself or one's appearance, conceit. And number two, something that is vain, empty, or valueless. And so I had another thought on this vanity. In Napoleon Hill's last book, Grow Rich with Peace of Mind, he answers this question, you know, how much money should you have? And of course, that's a question we all want to answer for ourselves. But one of the interesting things about that book is he said, Andrew Carnegie said, he said, not everyone should set up the goal to become a millionaire. And I remember reading that and I was like, wait, what? You know, because Jim Rohn says, hey, you should become a millionaire. not for the money, but because of what it will make you in the process, because of who you will become, right? Jim Rohn, the way he used to say that. And a lot of people out there saying, hey, let's teach you how to be millionaires. Let's become millionaires. And then Napoleon Hill comes along and says, Andrew Carnegie says, no, that's the wrong goal for everybody. And so I'm like, wait, what's he going to say, right? So in the book, he said not everyone should set up a goal to become a millionaire because for some people, it would cost too much, is what he said. For some people, it would cost too much. And then Napoleon Hill goes on to elaborate a little bit on how much money you should have. And he quotes a line from the Bible that says this quote, not too much, not too little, not too much, not too little. So he gives this indication that there's kind of like a happy place, a happy space, right, where we have all of our needs met. We have some money to enjoy the luxuries of life that we want to enjoy, but we realize that maybe there's a balance there. And he also tells a story about this this gentleman, one of his students from India, who flies over to the United States to meet Napoleon Hill. And he said, I want to be the richest man in the world. He said, I want to make, I think it was like $100 million a year, you know, or whatever it was. And Napoleon Hill is asking him now, why? You know, why do you want to do this? And he wanted to do it for no other reason than to just be the richest person in the world. He had no thoughts of what he was going to do with the money. He had no thoughts of, you know, contributing to the world in a certain unique way. It would really, he just wanted to do it for the sake of doing it. And Napoleon Hill started to just kind of question him a little bit. And it's like, are you sure you want to do this? And, you know, what are you going to give up in the process? And will it be worth it? And, you know, just questioning this person. So anyway, I was thinking about that in relation to vanity, because we know that one of the laws of success is self-confidence. We've got to believe in ourselves. We've got to know we can do what we can do. We got to know we can get out there and take action. We got to know we can learn. We got to know we can add value to people's lives. All of that is confidence, self-confidence, but maybe there's a space where we get too much of that, where it's now, you know, now it's not, we're confident in the, you know, like Jim Rohn, he said, one of the other things Jim Rohn said is he said, I believe in affirmations. You know, we've been studying auto-suggestion in the book Thinking Rich. Jim Rohn said, I believe in affirmations, but he said, affirmation without discipline is the beginning of delusion. And so Jim Rohn said, whatever you affirm to yourself, he said, make sure it's the truth. Jim Rohn said, if you're broke, he says, maybe a good affirmation would be, I'm broke and I need to change it, right? I'm broke and I'm on my way out. I'm broke and I'm doing things now to make it better. And so with self-confidence, maybe vanity, I'm just throwing this out there, right? I'm not a be-all, end-all expert on this. I'm just using my own mind and my experiences to try to come up with a definition for myself. Maybe vanity is when we have confidence in that which is not. Like self-confidence might be a healthy confidence, a confidence in that which is in alignment with the truth, you know, based on your knowledge, your skills, your experiences. I mean, like, let's say someone just gets started in home business. They've never made any money before, and they're like, I'm the best home business builder in the entire world. Ain't nobody better than me. I beat them all. That wouldn't really be true, right? It wouldn't really be true yet. Maybe it could be true. But so maybe self-confidence is when we have good, healthy beliefs about ourselves, in our actual abilities and in our potential to develop more abilities. And then vanity is when we shift over into that which is not. And, you know, this second definition kind of comes to mind where it says empty or valueless. Like we overestimate, we have too much pride in that which we say we are or whatever. So I don't know, just food for thought on that. And then I don't know, does it also have something to do with valuing yourself much more than others? Like, you know, I'm better at this. Therefore I am a much better human than this other human. You know, I'm a better basketball player. I make more money. So, oh, well, that means I'm a better human. Maybe that has something to do with vanity as well. I don't know. Just throw that out as food for thought. So anyway, Native Character Attribute this month, be thinking about. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. And then also we have a book of the month this month. It's the No BS Direct Marketing, the Ultimate No Holds Barred Kick Butt Take No Prisoners Direct Marketing Guide for Non-Direct Marketers, Non-Direct Marketing Businesses by Dan S. Kennedy. And I've been reading this. I want to pass along just a couple of things from the book. And what's cool about us having a book of the month is if you want to pick up the book, recommend you do it. You'll get the most value out of it that way. But even if you don't pick up the book, but you tune into our masterminds, you're going to get some nuggets from the people who are reading it. So I think that's kind of neat about our Book of the Month program. So he has these rules, right? Rule number one, there will always be an offer or offers. So what he says is in every communication you send out, there should always be an offer. And then he says, ideally, yours is a godfather's offer, an offer that the appropriate prospect or customer for you can't refuse. You know, that classic line, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse, right? We want a godfather offer. And again, he says, make every communication have an offer. And he says there are a couple of different offers we can make. We can make direct purchase offers. You know, like when you see on TV when they run these infomercials and they say, okay, buy one, get one free, call in now, place your order. That's a direct purchase offer. But he seems to be more of a fan of the lead gen offer, and that is where you give some information in exchange for a person's contact information. He says this can substantially reduce the waste factor in advertising, convert a sales culture into a marketing culture, and provide opportunity to build trust and create relationship. And he said that he coined the term, this is a good term to think about, information first marketing, right? And he also talks, this is another kind of a good idea, he talks about the threshold. He says all offers have a threshold. There's a low threshold and a high threshold. And a high threshold offer is where you have to have a high level of commitment from the buyer, where the buyer's like, okay, I'm ready to buy, therefore I will go through this extra, you know, hoops to be able to take advantage of this offer. And he gives some examples of, you know, like financial advisor giving a free seminar. We might have a tendency to think free seminar, and we might think, well, it's free. It's free. He's marketing information. It's free. That's a low threshold offer. And he says, no, this is a high threshold offer because people are smart. And we know that what a financial seminar, a free financial seminar translates to is they're going to try to get me to buy life insurance or something like that, right? So he said only people who are pretty much ready to buy will show up for an offer like that. But he said a low threshold offer has a higher response rate because there's less pain involved, right? And I recently experienced this. We were looking at some solar systems, and I put some information in one website on the internet, and the lady calls, and she tries to get an appointment for this guy to come over to my house and do a free consultation. Well, I know what that's going to look like. He's going to come give us a free consultation. He's going to sit us down at our table. He's going to show us the numbers, and he's going to try to get us to sign. And so I had resistance to that. There was this other website I went to that offered a free ebook with a training series on do-it-yourself solar, and I opted into that, started watching the videos, and I'm like, this is beautiful. I get to learn. I get to learn all about prices. I get to learn the different things I could do, and I get to go at my own pace. And that would be an example of a low-threshold information offer. And so good to think about, what are you doing in your business? Are you do you have a good godfather, low threshold offer to throw out there? And if you do, great. And remember, there will always be an offer or offers. So whether you're asking somebody to buy or asking somebody to opt into your website and get a free gift, remember that. Include offers in your marketing. So with that, let's go ahead and get into our reading. We're finishing out this chapter, and we're on page 124, where Bill left us off at the summary of instructions. So Napoleon Hill writes, the fact that you are reading this book is an indication that you earnestly seek knowledge. It is also an indication that you are a student of this subject. If you are only a student, there is a chance that you may learn much that you did not know, but you will learn only by assuming an attitude of humility. If you choose to follow some of the instructions, but neglect or refuse to follow others, you will fail. To get satisfactory results, you must follow all instructions in a spirit of faith. The instructions given in connection with the six steps in the second chapter will now be summarized and blended with the principles covered in this chapter as follows. First, go into some quiet spot, preferably in bed at night, where you will not be disturbed or interrupted. Close your eyes and repeat aloud so you may hear your own words, the written statement of the amount of money you intend to accumulate, the time limit for its accumulation, and a description of the service or merchandise you intend to give in return for the money. As you carry out these instructions, see yourself already in possession of the money. For example, suppose that you intend to accumulate $50,000 by the 1st of January, 5 years hence, that you intend to give personal services in return for the money in the capacity of a salesperson. Your written statement of your purposes should be similar to the following. By the first day of January, 2000 and such and such, I will have in my possession $50,000, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In return for this money, I will give the most efficient service, which I'm capable of rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of salesperson of, and then you describe the service or merchandise you intend to sell. I believe that I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render in return for it. I'm awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Second, repeat this program night and morning until you can see in your imagination the money you intend to accumulate. Third, place a written copy of your statement where you can see it night and morning, and read it just before retiring and upon arising until it has been memorized. Remember, as you carry out these instructions, that you are applying the principle of auto-suggestion for the purpose of giving orders to your subconscious mind. Remember also that your subconscious mind will act only upon instructions which are emotionalized and handed over to it with feeling. Faith is the strongest and most productive of the emotions. Follow the instructions given in the chapter on faith. These instructions may at first seem abstract. Do not let this disturb you. Follow the instructions, no matter how abstract or impractical they may at first appear to be. The time will soon come, if you do as you have been instructed, in spirit as well as in act, when a whole new universe of power will unfold to you. Skepticism, in connection with all new ideas, is characteristic of all human beings. But if you follow the instructions outlined, your skepticism will soon be replaced by belief, and this in turn will soon become crystallized into absolute faith. Then you will have arrived at the point where you may truly say, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. Many philosophers have made the statement that man is the master of his earthly destiny, but most of them have failed to say why he is the master. The reason that man may be the master of his earthly status, and especially his financial status, is thoroughly explained in this chapter. Man may become the master of himself and of his environment because he has the power to influence his own subconscious mind and through it gain the cooperation of infinite intelligence. You are now reading the chapter which represents the keystone to the arch of this philosophy. The instructions contained in this chapter must be understood and applied with persistence if you succeed in transmuting desire into money. The actual performance of transmuting desire into money involves the use of auto-suggestion as an agency by which one may reach and influence the subconscious mind. The other principles are simply tools with which to apply auto-suggestion. Keep this thought in mind, and you will at all times be conscious of the important part the principle of auto-suggestion is to play in your efforts to accumulate money through the methods described in this book. Carry out these instructions as though you were a small child. Inject into your effort something of the faith of a child. The author has been most careful to see that no impractical instructions were included because of his sincere desire to be helpful. After you have read the entire book, come back to this chapter and follow in spirit and in action this instruction. Read the entire chapter aloud once every night until you become thoroughly convinced that the principle of auto-suggestion is sound, that it will accomplish for you all that has been claimed for it. As you read, underscore with a pencil every sentence which impresses you favorably. Follow the foregoing instruction to the letter, and it will open the way for a complete understanding and mastery of the principles of success. And there is chapter 4. So let us go ahead and get into the mastermind portion of the mastermind. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Did you like that vanity joke? And what other thoughts bubbled up for you as we went through the content? We'd love to hear what you have to share. Please share anything that's relevant to what we're talking about, your thoughts, inspirations that bubbled up for you, stories, value, things you're learning that can help the freedom movement march forward. All of that very welcomed here in our mastermind. So I've got my notes out, ready to learn from each of you. Do keep in mind this is not a company-specific mastermind, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our community here. And brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment. Star 6 is first. Come on out.
Hey, Paul. Bill in Tucson.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Wow, I'm surprised I was first. I was going, I'll wait till somebody comes out. Yes, awesome, man. You're just teaching so much incredible information. I'm just like taking notes like a madman. It's just incredible, the knowledge that you have. Just really thank you for that. The thing that bubbled up for me was that, we all have a unique abilities in life and gifts to give and to contribute to society and on this call. And if we just keep moving forward, we can do that. And that's what's so awesome about this call is that there's so many gifts that people have. And one thing also, you said that the purpose of the call is to promote freedom, financial freedom and life freedom. That is just so awesome. So good information. What else do I have here? God, I just got so much here. So we all have the power to influence the subconscious mind. Everybody in the world has this power to change our reality. And I think it's also important to know where you are. Like you said, you may not be exactly where you want to be, but know where you are and just enjoy the ride. And so that's what I got for today, Paul. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you, Bill. Love those thoughts. And so grateful for you and all of your contributions to the freedom movement. Just love you, man. Thanks for coming out. Star 6, yeah. Who's next? Yeah. Come on out.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Jesse. How are you?
I am doing terrific, and I thought your joke was hysterical. But, very smart.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
But I did want to also, number one, say thank you for the recognition. It really makes such a difference, but I would do it anyway, regardless. And you were right on with regard to why I do it. Number one, when I belong to anything, I want to not just be a member. I want to participate at a different level where I can be helping and kind of building up the community in which I'm in. And I love this call. I started, I think it's been 10 years, which is just blowing my mind when I think of it. I don't know. I thought I was like more than 4 and 5, but when you count on the numbers and when you started this call and when I remember starting, it was definitely almost that long. So it's just crazy. And I love this call so much, and I don't ever want it to stop. And if it means my doing what I do so that it keeps moving forward, then that's what I want to be doing. And I get so much joy from all of it. And while I'm doing it and I pick up these quotes, I learn about these different people who are making these quotes and never heard of them, some of them. And some of these quotes are just so incredible, and there's so much wisdom in them. And so I'm learning at the same time and absolutely love it. So I also don't want it to stop because there are too many people out there that we need to reach. And it's an ongoing process, so I love that. And you mentioning something that you aren't ready at the time to be where you are today when you first started this journey, and that's something we all have to accept, that perhaps today we want to be somewhere else and we're not there yet. And I feel that, you know, infinite intelligence, the universe, God, however you want to look at it, is with you and it will happen for you, but wants you to be well prepared for that time when it comes. And part of that is the journey of learning and going through perhaps some struggles, some challenges that will build you up and teach you more things so that when that time comes, you are so on target and so ready. And I totally agree, because I look back when I started personal development and then start wanting to manifest certain things in life. And I look back now and I think, I certainly wasn't ready yet. I didn't understand it all yet. And I'm so much better prepared today than I ever was then. So it's divine timing, I think. And I think that was everything that I could think of right at the moment. But just love this call. Love you, Paul. Love this family. It is my rock. And back to you.
Wow. Love those thoughts, Jesse. And one thing I was thinking about when you said you've been here for 10 years. Wow. You know, like one of the things that I feel like I always wanted is, you know, when we get started in this journey, it's like, let's do it, guys. Let's do it together. Let's stay in the game. And so many people come and go, but some people stay. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it, that we can be here after 10 years waving the flag of freedom, still, you know, we're still here. We showed up. We said, let's do this. We're going to do it. And here we are a decade later still doing it. There's just something so inspiring about that for me. So thank you, Jesse. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ooh.
Good stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, this is David Mokel from South Florida.
Hey, what's up, David? How you doing, man?
Great. I'm doing fantastic. This is my first mastermind this morning after all of the hurricane craziness. And I just wanted to come just say I'm blown away, no pun intended, right, with all the storm. But literally, I am so full of gratitude and thankfulness for each and every one of you, and just so excited for the future, learning from each of you, and just on top of the world right now. So I just wanted to, and again, I took 4 pages of notes, by the way.
Awesome.
So my fingers are hurting. But yeah, so I just was, I'm just so, so excited and grateful. So thank you so much.
Awesome, David. Thanks for coming out and sharing that. And for those of you guys who don't know, David, I talked about him, last week, he joined our community, and I was talking about how he has this great profile picture that says love across the bottom, and what a great vibe he has. That's David, right? So you guys all just got to hear it. So, David, welcome. Thanks for being here, and we're looking forward to learning and earning with you. So thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Paul Hutchings, Sean Canty.
Hey, good morning, Sean. How you doing, brother?
Doing well. It's been a while. I haven't been able to be on much. Just thinking about the year, I think it was either 2015 or 2016 when I was introduced to this call. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's kind of weird. Facebook memories pop up, and I got a journal back in 2016 I just saw this morning, and I'm like, wow, I have failed at completing that journal so many times, and let's maybe this be the year that I can actually have some success in that. But anyways, I think that my thought on that is touching on what you said about, you know, we're not always ready to receive information at certain times. And I actually had a moment of that yesterday. I'm going through a productivity course because that's where I fail massively. And I realized that had I been given the information 2, 3, 4 years ago, I would have just pushed it aside and not done the work. But I'm finally at that place where I have a mindset to do the work. And I think that if there's anybody on this call who's saying, oh my gosh, these people are way too positive, I can't be that way, you know, if anybody is over the, even a teenager actually, if you're over the age of 10, probably, which most people on this call I'm sure are, then you've already been programmed with the majority of negative auto-suggestion from the societies in which we live and the TV and all the stuff that's advertised and put on there. And the only way we can get out of that is to choose what we fill our minds with. And if we don't constantly fill our minds with positive and disconnect from all the negative in the world, then we will never break free of that negative because it is just so overwhelming with all the social medias, the stuff the mainstream media puts out there. We really have to make a conscious effort to disconnect from the negative, plug into the positive, and feed ourselves with that positive to auto-suggest ourselves into a much more positive place. And another realization for that came with me, if anybody looks at my Facebook profile today, I'm a ray of sunshine. And it was sarcastically pointed out to me this morning to take my ray of sunshine, basically, and take a hike with it. And it was in a situation where someone's in a life situation where I was in once, and I remember being there. And you can only view the world from a negative perspective. And now I'm stuck in the state of mind where I can hardly ever see the negative, and I always twist everything positive. So I guess that's a good thing. And eventually, anybody who's struggling, you know, you can get there, you can be positive, you can always be that way, and it's a good way. It's a good way to be when you finally get there. So that's all I got today.
I love it. Great transformation, Sean, that you've gone through. And yeah, man, let's auto-suggest ourselves into the best lives we can imagine.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. We'd love to hear from you today. If you've got something to say, come on.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning. Is that Sylvester? Who is that?
Yeah, that's me. I was trying to change my voice a little bit.
Can't fool me.
Yeah, man. So it's another great call. And it's kind of funny. I was looking up definitions, and, you know, I ran into some of the same definitions for vanity that you came up with, but, you know, I was just shaking my head this morning. I cannot stand, or I think it's very funny, when you look up a word and the definition gives you the state of quality. Let's say I was looking up vanity. It gives me the definition, the state of quality of being vain. I don't know what that is. So it's like I look up happiness, it says the state of quality of being happy. So I didn't really get down to the exact answer I was looking for, but I think in vanity sometimes maybe it could be a quality that one may have, if we could call it a quality, that they place value in some form of self-superiority over other people's wants, other people's desires, and everything that they do in some way, shape, or form is to bring light to them or some type of value, bring all the credit back to them. And so maybe vanity is one who is self-serving. Everything they do is to serve them or to bring light to them. I don't know. That's an actual good question. I think it might take all month for me to research that. But in concern to not being ready for success, I think that's like a huge thing because you can be at a point in your life and you know what you, or you think you know what you want, but you haven't calculated the cost, or you don't understand the cost of what it's going to take to get you to be the person that you want to be, because you're holding on to so many things. What are these things? You're holding on to like crazy or negative relationships. You're holding on to self-doubt, insecurities. You're holding on to the same habits, the same routines, and to expect to get a new result holding on to those things, it's practically impossible. So we have to learn how to let go of so many things. And for some of us, you know, you can place that burden to your father, to God, and to, you know, let's say the Bible, there's it says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. and you cast your cares on me because I care for you. So you learn how to release these things that are holding you back in your life, and then you make room for all these new things in which you can become a totally new person with new desires, with new intentions and new habits, and I think the change becomes easier. I don't know. This is a great call, and I have a lot to think about, but those are my thoughts so far.
Love your thoughts, Sylvester. Always love hearing from you. You always educate and inspire and provide a lot of food for thought to chew on. So thank you for those great ideas. Appreciate you so much. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me? It's Lonnie.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Lonnie? Good morning.
Hey, morning. So, I had some thoughts that I wanted to share with respect to what you said earlier on in the call, specifically with Jim Rohn making the mention that, you know, the affirmations and, you know, saying affirmations that aren't true is the start of delusion. But it prompted me to think of something that Muhammad Ali, who was, very famous for saying the words, "I'm the greatest of all time." A lot of people thought that he was always just saying that to get some attention in front of the cameras and to, you know, just his cocky personality. But what when researchers like really kind of dug in, they found out that when Muhammad Ali was asked why, you know, how he became as great a boxer as he did, he said that his little secret was believing he was the best long before he actually was. And what a lot of people didn't realize is that those specific words, "I am the greatest of all time," he used to say those words to himself 1,000 times a day, every single day. He did it for years and years before he became a famous boxer. So when it comes to this idea that with affirmations or whatever we're delusional, the thought that came to my mind that just kind of sparked up there, well, I kind of agree with Jim Rohn that there's a certain level of delusion to saying what isn't true or isn't true yet. There's a lot of brain science around all this now where my new thought is being delusional might be the way to go. It might be the key to the accomplishments, the extraordinary levels of impact that we're all striving for. You got to be a little delusional if you want to accomplish big things. You take the guy who broke the 4-minute mile. I can't think of his name offhand. You know, a lot of people said he was delusional when he said, "I'm going to break the 4-minute mile barrier and run a mile in under 4 minutes." And, you know, when John F. Kennedy said, "We're going to the moon," a lot of people thought that was delusional. It really makes me think that in order to accomplish big things, a certain amount of delusional or attraction to what is delusional is actually an asset. So anyway, that's just a thought that occurred to me when you were sharing earlier.
Yeah, it's a great point. I jotted down as you're talking. Sometimes delusion can lead to big results. You know, there's this quote that says, "You're not free until you've been made captive by supreme belief." And
hey, Paul, you still there? I can't hear you. Hello?
We may have lost Paul. I hear background noise, but I don't see him. You there,
can
Paul?
You guys still hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys too. So
yeah,
I'm still off mute.
Yeah.
But
I think Paul,
we may have lost Paul.
He dropped off. So why don't?
Okay.
Thank you so much for those thoughts. I'm sure he'll get back on.
Hey guys, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Okay, excellent.
I was so excited. I hung myself up.
We heard this whoosh, and then you were gone. I thought you got swept away.
I was just going to say on Lonnie's thoughts, my son and I were reading about Joan of Arc yesterday. And Joan of Arc, when she was like, the story goes, when she was 14, I think she had visions of angels coming to tell her that she needed to support the French's emancipation from the English. And so whether that was an actual experience or she believed it so much that she was delusional, what ended up happening is she became a powerful force in history and ended up playing a key role in those wars back then, you know, as a young girl, young teenage girl in the Middle Ages, right? So, yeah, I mean, delusion, strong belief, sometimes the line between those two is very thin and hard to tell the difference. So thanks for that insight, Lonnie. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hello?
Good morning. Forward.
Okay, who? Let's hear a name. I heard a lady.
Simone?
Simone, let's hear you. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. And what I wanted to say about the delusion is that I believe that it is delusional when you're speaking if that's all you're doing. Is speaking and not doing any actions to bring what you're saying to come to pass. And also the vanity, I'm thinking also that vanity, it's a handholder of selfishness or self-centered and all the self stuff. And I think that's a pretty good definition for vanity, and it's just selfishness. But that's it.
I like it. So it's like vanity says me, and humble self-confidence says we. You know, we're all worth. Let's do this together. Yeah, I like that. Great thought.
Yes.
And with your other thought, you know, think about Muhammad Ali, like Lonnie pointed out. He did say he was the greatest. But eventually his character caught up with his words, and he became the greatest, right? In the end, he wasn't delusional because he wasn't just saying it without doing anything. He was putting in the work. He was catching up his character to his words. So maybe that's the difference. Thank you, Simone. Great thought.
Yes.
Who else was there? I heard a few other people coming out. Who's next?
Hey, Paul. It's Bobby in San Diego.
Brother Bobby, how you doing, man?
Hey, fantastic, fantastic job as always, Mr. Paul Hutchings. And, you know, Jessie, obviously, I mean, what a great legacy she's creating with this call for being part of it for 10 years. And, you know, just God bless both of you guys and every single person that shows up on making this call, because it's obviously become a backbone in my world too. So, but real quick points, Paul, there's so much great content and obviously everybody's sharing. You know, it goes back to a simple thing that I learned throughout my career in building a home-based business and entrepreneurship. You know, on this call, we started every day, you know, with someone sharing a major definite purpose. And in this book, Think and Grow Rich, we obviously talk about the chief definite aim. And it's such a simple concept. And, you know, this call and you, your leadership, you've made it even simple where they can download a major definite purpose. But just the fact of sharing that and reading that every day, right? And we talk about this vanity and delusional and all these different great topics. But I truly believe that we all have a grand, you know, we kind of have a vision of ourselves. And sometimes we don't see the grandest version of ourselves. And you talked about Muhammad Ali, and he caught up with it. Well, I think none of us on this phone have caught up with our greatest vision that we have of ourselves. And that's why it's such a simple thing to put on piece of paper. What is our major definite purpose? What is our chief definite aim? What is that grandest version of ourselves that we want to strive and reach for? And in this community, it's a safe place to be able to share that and go for that. And because we have unlimited gifts and talents given to us by our Creator, God, whatever you want to call it, we're blessed. We're blessed to wake up this morning. We're blessed to be able to breathe, blessed to be able to get on this phone and listen and hear and talk, to take notes. Because here it is, Paul. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple to write down and follow the guidelines of the Think and Grow Rich, call the Grow Rich audios, and go to that website and write down your and work on that game plan of what's your purpose. And you may not know. You may not know, but you stay plugged in. But then you'll write something down if you stay plugged in. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And we know it works, Paul. We know. There's too much testimonials. It's validated. It's documented. And the key thing is, Paul, and you know this better than anyone, as well as the leaders on this call, you can do it. We can do it, especially together. So it's simple. It works. You can do it. Chief definite aim, major definite purpose. If anything that I need to do is I need to read that more every day. And thank you for your leadership and every one of you on this call that always step up and share. So with that, have a fantastic Freedom Friday, guys.
Wow. Love you, Bobby. You speak life with your words, man. So grateful for you and that you share that gift with us when you come on out and speak. Good. No, great stuff. One second here. Did you hear that? Someone went, whoop, whoop. Star 6, who's next? We have 3 minutes left. We'd love to hear from you today.
Hey, Paul.
Hello, Hyacinth.
You know, we're talking about Muhammad Ali and being delusional and all that. And I'm thinking it's actually part of what we've been instructed to do. That is why I'm liking this major definite purpose more and more. As Bobby just said, it's a simple process. But everything we need is right there. The second part of the self-confidence formula says, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind, which in Muhammad Ali's case was, I am the greatest, will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. So I'm tempted to think that even if you're not in physical action at that point, because your dominating thoughts are what they are, when those thoughts take you over, you will have no choice but to get into the physical action that will gradually transform those thoughts into physical reality. So we just have to really delve into these words that we've been given, and we see everything we need is right there. Back to you, Paul.
Wow. When those thoughts take you over, close quote. Powerful. Thank you, Hyacinth. Great stuff. Star 6, we have 2 minutes left. We'd love to hear from you. So we have 1 minute left, and I want to close out with a last thought. There's a great audio that Jim Rohn put together called Cultivating an Unshakable Character. And in the beginning of that audio, he talks about the difference between vanity, pride, and humility. And he uses this word. He actually talks about two characters in history. He talks about Alexander the Great, who was a historic conqueror. Like he actually thought he was a god, and he would come into these cities and announce himself as a god, and they would dominate the city and take it over, and he would conquer and conquer and conquer. And then he talked a little bit about Jesus Christ, and he said Jesus Christ is a character in history who was sort of the opposite. He went about serving and lifting people and not dominating and announcing that, you know, he was the greatest to ever live. And he said, this is the distinction that Jim Rohn drew out that I think is interesting to think about. He said, Alexander the Great has all been but forgotten in the public consciousness, right? And most of us, we hear Alexander the Great, unless we've learned about him in history, we're like, well, I got to go look him up on Wikipedia. Who is that? Really don't know a lot about him. Whereas the character of Jesus is still in 2019 very prevalent in the public consciousness. And so Jim Rohn kind of just drew this interesting insight between maybe what we could call vanity and, you know, self-righteousness and being bombastic, and a definition of bombastic, high-sounding but with little meaning, inflated. Sound without substance. I have a friend who's a multimillionaire. He one of his favorite sayings is, empty truck makes a lot of noise. So maybe that's just a little bit more insight into this vanity thing is, you know, having the character or the substance to, at least if not today, at some point in the near future, back up the words that, you know, are coming from our mouths. Maybe that's a little bit more insight into vanity. So guys and gals, I've learned a lot today. Thank you so much for everyone's contributions. Thank you for your hearts. Thank you for your souls. Thank you for your commitment to being the best that you can be and making a difference in the world and providing the lifestyle for yourself and your family and the people you care about that you want to provide. I think that says so much about you. And upward and onward, we're going to continue marching forward. Have an awesome day. Have an awesome weekend. Get out there, take action, go for your dreams. And hopefully we'll hear you all back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. Take care and bye for now.
All right. All right.
How do you make dreams come true?
It takes faith to make your dreams come true. Life has something special right here for you. Everything has a season, a reason to grow. So don't be discouraged by your obstacles. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up, be all you are meant to be. Things will always come to get us down, and it only gets worse when we start to frown. Let's keep hope alive in our hearts. Smile with gratitude, that's when the magic starts. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up, be all you are meant to be. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up, it's your life for eternity. Never be defeated, even if you are mistreated. Stand your ground right where you are. Don't give up on your dreams, no matter how hard it seems. Move forward and follow your heart. Follow your heart. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up, be all you are meant to be. I'll never give up my right to be happy. I'll never give up, it's my life for eternity. I'll never give up. Never give up, never give up, never give up.